Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget, where 15 minutes of your day can change, will change your entire life. So grateful to God that He has given us yet another morning, another opportunity to be able to be in His presence. Pray with me. God, we love you and we are so grateful for you. There is none like you in all the earth, and there will never be another, because there is none that came before you, none that stands beside you. You are the I am that I am, and all that you are is all that we need. We thank you, O God, for waking us up this morning, for giving us the ability to think, to give us the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to breathe, the ability to be able to function. All of that is wrapped up in what it is that you have done for us just on this day, just at that moment. But you have done oh so much more, and we are grateful. God, we thank you for these who have assembled on this morning. God, I thank you for their nighttime, and I thank you for their morning time. I thank you for all that you brought them out of, and I thank you for all that they are dealing with right now, that you're right there in the middle of it with them. And God, I don't wish that they will be going through anything tragic or anything evil, but God, just the memory of knowing that you were with them before and that you're with them now is enough to be able to say thank you. God, we're praying on today, God, that you will be with us as we study your word on today. God, we pray that you will speak life to us through your word on today. God, we pray that those things that are causing us not to have hope in you, God, would be revitalized because of your word. Speak to your people. God, we will be spoken to. God, touch us through your word. We will be forever changed if we allow the word to do what it is that it does, and that is to accomplish what you set it out to do. We love you today, and we adore you in Christ's name. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you who have taken of your time, taken of your morning, to dial in to hear what the Father has to say to us. On this morning, we continue with our series on sacrificial love, and we're going to the final phase of this. On last week, we talked about the trial of Jesus as he was paraded through each courtroom, and as he affirmed his identity by saying, I am, which then sealed his fate and brought us to this day, which takes us to the crucifixion. I'll be coming from John, the 19th chapter, and I'll be starting at the 16th verse. John 19, starting at verse 16, reading from the New American Standard Bible. It reads as follows. So he then handed him over to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on each side, either side, and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, they divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus was his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. And he said to the disciple, "Behold, your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thus read John, the 19th chapter, starting at the 16th verse, closing at the 30th verse. You all, as we walk through this Holy Week, and as we consider the remembrance through the Word of God of the crucifixion, we have to understand that when Jesus first said, "I am," to solidify his identity in front of Pilate, even though Pilate knew that he was innocent, he basically had tied the hands of Pilate so to fulfill scripture. Jesus never came wanting to die, but he came knowing he needed to die. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. Jesus did not come wanting to die. He came knowing that he needed to die. Needed to die for our sins, needed to die for our fickleness, needed to die so that we will have a right to the tree of life. And even though we know we have that right, we still at times live as though we are still destined for eternal damnation. We still live as though there was no way out. We still live as though there is no eternal life waiting for us on the other side. But Jesus even died for our indifference. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. He even died knowing that we would turn our back on him. He died knowing that we would be like those who said Hosanna on Sunday and crucify him on Thursday. He knew that we would join in to the chorus of voices who loudly uttered in silence, "I'm going to live like I want to live. And who is this Jesus?" What do I mean in loud, utter silence? Because we would not, as believers, say out of our mouths that we don't believe. But we often live as if we don't believe. We often live as if we have no intention of lifting him up. But the Bible says that I, even if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. And that's what occurred in the crucifixion. He was lifted up. And because he was lifted up through his crucifixion, through the moment where sinless Christ absorbed the weight of our sins, he presented himself as the perfect Lamb of God, as the supreme sacrifice. Through his sacrificial, self-giving love, through his submission, from him being a regal king to being crucified as if he was a common criminal, he shows to us the scope of God's mercy towards us. You also, the cross, even though it is the conclusion, the climax of Jesus' earthly mission, here on earth, the cross becomes that ultimate manifestation of our Father's heart towards us. It becomes that testament of his profound love that he would not spare his own son, but gave his son up for us all. So then what does that mean for us? Does that mean that because Jesus did it, we have nothing to do? Absolutely not. The cross ought to challenge us. Yeah, the cross ought to challenge us to look at ourselves in the mirror, to confront the reality of our own failings. Yeah. We ought to consider the cost of our freedom. We ought to examine ourselves and determine what it is about us that caused Jesus to die. Can just think about it. We think about it when people do that for us here on earth. I wonder what it is that caused them to step outside of themselves and do X, Y, and Z for us. How is it that we think of that from a common person, a mere man, but we don't consider that as it relates to Jesus? We so often want to default to the saying of, well, that's Jesus, as if he had to do any of that for us. Please understand that Jesus always had a choice. We saw that choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it be your will, God, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We see the difference, the division between his earthly nature, the nature that says, I don't want to have to go through this. I don't want to have to hurt. I don't want people spitting on me. I don't want to be paraded from court to court, from pillar to post. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to have my skin stripped from me. I don't want to suffer for the sins of the world. But I choose to lay down my life. No one takes my life, but I lay it down. Yes, we should confront the fact that our sin is the reason why Jesus had to die. We should be humbled by that. We should be thankful for that. And we should have a love that transcends our own wants, our own desires. In other words, we should want to deny ourselves what we feel as though we want to do that might be totally opposite of what it is that the Lord wants us to do, how he wants us to live. We should deny ourselves, take up our own cross of carrying our own crucifixion of our flesh, yes, God, so that we can live in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. Because the cross, the crucifixion is not just a call for us to remember, but you all, it's a call for us to respond. It's a call for us to live humbly. It's a call for us to live gratefully. It's a call for us to love sacrificially so that we look like the image of our Jesus who took on our sins, even to the death of the cross. You all were not supposed to look upon the cross as if it is a symbol of disparity, despair. But it ought to be a sign of hope, ought to be a sign of triumph. It lets us know that our sins, our flesh, we are defeated. And we live through the resurrection of our Lord. His death signifies that our sin and the death that result from it was overthrown and new life is ours. My prayer on today is that the continuation of this Holy Week, that you reflect on the cross, but even more so, that you use that cross as a mirror to look at yourself and to be willing to walk away from your fleshly desires and to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Let us pray. God, we love you today and we just honor you. We thank you. We thank you that in the shadow of the cross that we are moved. We are humbled by the depth of your love in the extent of your sacrifice by giving your only son. I pray on today, God, that your cross guides us to really understand that the magnitude of your grace towards us, and that it causes us to walk in the light of the sacrifice of Jesus. We pray that the realness of Jesus' sacrifice and the power of his resurrection changes us profoundly, and that it urges us to live as his disciples every day, telling a dying world about a living Savior. Be with us as we go about our day today, and use us in your divine appointments to tell the world about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.